Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
A
beautiful weekend after a pretty traumatic and dramatic day on Friday. A special thanksgiving to God for keeping so many of us safe during those storms. And also prayers are offered up for our neighbors, St. Joe and the County Parish, who lost their roof. I'm sure you guys have seen the pictures online. Prayers for that community. If anyone is here from that community, know that we're supporting you, and you can come and sit in our pew anytime you need to as you guys work toward rebuilding and rejuvenating your church. This weekend we hear the gospel story as Jesus takes the three closest followers of his up a mountain and shows them something spectacular. But we don't always have our eyes open, do we? And we don't always follow to go see what the Lord might show us. For the times that we have failed to live in his love and to follow him fully, let us call to mind our sins. A few years ago, I read a story in a book. I think the book was called Contagious, and I think the author was Jonah Berger, but I'm not positive about that. Anyways, the story in the book was about a restaurant, or is about a restaurant, that still exists in New York City. It's a restaurant that has no website, there's no phone number, you can't find it online or anything. You can find it in this book, though, if you read it. To get to the restaurant, you go into a 7-Eleven type of convenience store in downtown New York City. When you go into the back of the convenience store, there is a payphone on the wall, like a phone booth, old style. You pick up the phone. You don't dial anything, I don't think. And someone on the other end answers and says, "How many?" And you say, "For whatever your party is for supper that night." And they say, "We have space or we don't." If they don't have space, they hang up and you walk away. If they do have space, the back of the phone booth opens to a staircase. You walk down a small staircase in this restaurant in New York City and find a tiny restaurant with seating for less than 40. I think the book, it's been years now, I think it said it was seating for 34 people total. At the end of your meal, which is one of the best restaurants you can eat at, supposedly, at the end of the meal, the waiter or waitress comes to you, get the bill, pay, and they give you a business card. On the business card, it says all the information they want you to know, which is simply the words, "Just don't tell." This restaurant is a secret, kind of, in New York City. And if you could find it, I'd love to find out what it's really like. So if you go there, tell me. Jesus, in the gospel today, says the same thing at the end of this powerful experience, though not a restaurant. He takes his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, the two brothers and Peter, up the mountain. At the top of the mountain, something amazing happens. For the first time, he is shown in his full divinity in the transfiguration. He becomes transfigured, looks like the Godhead that he is, not just the man, but also God. His clothes are bright white. I picture like the Mr. Clean cartoon guy, right? Like shining, you know? And his face is like the sun. Like that's how bright he is. And as he's hovering or whatever he's doing as he's transfigured, two people appear alongside him, the law and the prophets, the king of the prophets and the king of the law, that talked about the coming of Christ and told us how to live so we could follow him one day, to testify that this indeed really is the Son of God. And then a booming voice, if that wasn't enough, comes from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son." Like, it really is the Son of God. Listen to him, and in him I'm well pleased. Those are the three things the Father says to the Son and to the people on the mountain. Just four people, Jesus and three disciples. After all this happens, Peter says, "Well, sheesh, let's build some tents because this is pretty amazing and let's stay for a while, you know? Let's get the Airbnb going." He doesn't, right? He doesn't get it. It's not so you can stay there forever. It's for something else. And then whenever they fall to their faces because they can't stand the sight, Jesus walks up and touches one of them on the shoulder and says, "Rise, get up." Whenever they do, their eyes look up and everything else is kind of back to normal. Jesus is there just as human side of Jesus, right, on display anyway. Elijah and Moses, they're gone. And as they're walking down the mountain from this incredible experience, Jesus like elbows one of the guys and stops him for a second and says, just don't tell. Just don't tell. I've been thinking about that line this week. Why would Jesus say, don't tell anyone? I mean, how many of you have ever been on a retreat before? Crecio, Tech, Source and Summit, White House Retreat in St. Louis, Chirp or Welcome, half the church has. How many of you ever had an experience on a retreat or elsewhere in prayer that was like really powerful for you? Anybody want to admit that? I have, just in January I did. What do you do with those moments? Because when the Lord comes to you, or when you see something clearly, or you hear the voice of like a saint that you love, or Mary grabbing your hand as you're praying the rosary, that happened to me the other day. Like I actually felt her in my hand. Whenever that kind of stuff happens to you, don't you want to tell everybody? Like, don't you want to go to your spouse or your children or your coworkers or like the friend that you've got that's the most in faith, like where you are, and say, dude, right? Isn't this amazing? But Jesus today says, maybe don't tell. When I was a freshman or sophomore early in college seminary up at Indianapolis, the Archbishop of Indianapolis at the time, Daniel B. Klein, who's since passed away, he'd become a mentor of mine. I think he probably picked me in part because he was from Jasper, so he was from our diocese. He actually studied for our diocese before he went to the monastery at St. Meinrad, and then he felt a call to monastic life, and then God was like, yeah, you want to be a monk? You're going to be a bishop and an archbishop anyway, right? So anyways, I think that we had and he also had a big family, and it was a farming family. And I also, since I wasn't one of his seminarians, he wasn't playing favorites, right? Because it was outside of his own diocese. So I would drive him to the airport or whatever, and I really needed a mentor at the time, too, because I was struggling in seminary. Anyways, one day we were driving somewhere in his car. We were talking about my call to priesthood. And as we were talking about it, I said, have I ever told you about the most powerful moment I had, like hearing a call to priesthood? And he said, no. And I said, well, I'd like to share it with you. Now, this is a story that I had only told, I think, two other people in my life at that point. My spiritual director and a mentor, a lady, a friend of mine, she was kind of a boss or coach for me before seminary. I told those two people in a real serious situation, and both times I think I cried as I was telling the story. And I thought, I want to tell this to him, right? So we're driving, and I'm driving, and he's in the passenger seat, and I'm telling this amazing story about God coming, Jesus coming to me and talking to me. And after I get done with my story, I look over at him in the car, and he goes, wow, and then change the subject. What? You're an archbishop, right? You're a monk. You should be like deeper in prayer than me. I was so mad. I think I was actually more sad than mad. You know, we're not very good at like knowing our emotions, or I'm not, like our feeling words. I think it was actually more sad than mad looking back on it, because here I was like opening like a locked soul, right? And saying, here's something really, really huge. And he was like, cool, great. How about the weather? You know, or let's talk about those Colts, you know? I wonder if that's not why Jesus said, just don't tell. Or why the restaurant says, just don't tell. Or why a little girl who's got a diary doesn't show it to anyone, even if she throws it away before anyone else can see it. Or a boy who's making a sandcastle at the beach, he makes his castle, and before he even shows mom or dad, just knocks it over, right? Maybe there are some things in life that are not for anyone or anything besides you. And maybe when you go on a retreat and the Lord comes to you, or when you're praying and you hear a word or you feel Mary's hand, maybe it's not so you can tell other people, look what you can find, right? But instead, being for you, it's enough. Like, you deserve it. You deserve the prayerful moment or the spiritual encounter or the grace that comes your way. And that's worthy. You're worthy of having it just for you. You know, that's the only thing that makes sense to me about the gospel story. Why Jesus would have said, don't tell, is if it was just for him and for them. Maybe as Jesus is finishing like his ministry on earth, like teaching and preaching and healing and calling, maybe what he needed to hear before he was going to go to the cross was his father saying, I really am proud of you, and that could carry him through. Or maybe those three apostles just needed to have that encounter to know that what they had given up was worth it, and to cherish it, and to lean on that. And people would see it on their faces, even if they don't hear it in words. I'm not saying don't evangelize. You need to witness. But maybe there are certain pearls of great price that shouldn't be thrown to swine, as Jesus says. We should keep them for just for themselves and just for us. So that restaurant in New York City, Just Don't Tell, it's now so busy that pretty much no one can get in. You know why? It's people told. And they ruined it. If you've got something from the Lord, don't do that. Don't make that same mistake.